Welcome to Listen To. This is Ted. The news was published on Sunday, September 29th. Joining me today are Eric and Kate. Let's dive right in, shall we? Today we're discussing a new study about exercise patterns and their health benefits. Let's start with the basics. Eric, can you explain what the study looked at?
Sure thing, Ted. This study was pretty massive. We're talking about nearly 90,000 people in the UK. The researchers weren't messing around. They strapped accelerometers on these folks and tracked their every move for a week. It's like Big Brother for fitness freaks.
That's right, but let's not lose sight of the real game changer here.
Hold your horses, Kate. Before we jump to conclusions, let's break it down a bit more. While the study's scope is impressive, we need to consider the limitations of a one-week snapshot. People's exercise habits can vary widely over time, and a single week might not tell the whole story.
Interesting points, both of you. Kate, can you elaborate on how the study classified different exercise patterns?
Absolutely, Ted. The researchers divided people into three groups, kind of like a fitness version of the good, the bad, and the ugly. First, we've got the couch potatoes. Those doing less than 150 minutes of moderate to vigorous activity per week. Then there's the steady eddies, regular exercisers spreading 150 minutes throughout the week. Finally, we've got the weekend warriors, cramming 150 minutes into just 1 or 2 days, probably feeling like superheroes on Saturday and zombies on Sunday.
While that's a colorful description, Kate, I think it's crucial to point out that this classification might be oversimplifying.
Oh, come on, Eric, don't be such a party pooper. This classification is brilliant because it allows for a crystal clear comparison between different exercise patterns. It's like comparing apples to apples, or in this case, joggers to joggers.
Let's move on to the results. Eric, what were the main findings of the study?
Well, Ted, the study found that both weekend warriors and regular exercisers had a lower risk of 264 medical conditions compared to inactive individuals. That's a pretty impressive number. 264 conditions. We're talking about everything from heart disease to ingrown toenails. Okay, maybe not ingrown toenails, but you get the idea.
Exactly. And the strongest associations were for cardiometabolic conditions like hypertension, diabetes, obesity, and sleep apnea.
Whoa there, Kate. Let's pump the brakes a bit. While these results are certainly interesting, we should be cautious about interpreting them as definitive proof of equivalence between exercise patterns. There could be other factors at play that the study didn't account for.
But Eric, you're missing the forest for the trees. The study clearly shows that it's the volume of exercise that matters, not the pattern. This is incredibly empowering for people with busy schedules. It's like telling someone they can eat all their veggies in one sitting instead of spreading them out over the week. Same nutrients, less hassle.
While that may be true, Kate, we shouldn't disregard the potential benefits of consistent daily exercise. There's more to health than just ticking boxes on a checklist. Regular activity can help with stress management, sleep quality, and maintaining a routine, things this study didn't measure.
Now, let's consider this study in a broader context. Eric, can you think of a similar historic event or study that relates to this?
Certainly, Ted. This reminds me of the Framingham Heart Study, which began way back in 1948. It was a real game changer, kind of like introducing rock and roll to a world of classical music. The Framingham Study revolutionized our understanding of cardiovascular health, much like this new study is shaking up our views on exercise patterns.
The Framingham Study was groundbreaking, but it's not directly comparable to this new research.
I have to disagree, Kate. The Framingham study, like this one, challenged existing notions about health. It identified major cardiovascular risk factors and showed that lifestyle choices significantly impact heart health. That's exactly what this new study is doing for exercise patterns.
While that's true, Eric, the Framingham study didn't specifically look at exercise patterns like this new research does. It's like comparing a Swiss Army knife to a specialized surgical tool. Both are useful, but they serve different purposes.
Interesting comparison. Kate, how do you think this new study compares to previous research on exercise?
This study is a real breath of fresh air, Ted. Unlike many previous studies that relied on people's notoriously unreliable memories of how much they exercised, oh yeah, I totally ran a marathon last week. This one used objective measures of physical activity. It's like switching from eyewitness testimony to video evidence. Way more reliable.
That's a fair point, but we shouldn't dismiss earlier research entirely. Many studies have consistently shown the benefits
of
regular...
Sure, Eric, but this study suggests we might need to rethink our approach to exercise recommendations. It's like discovering that you can get the same nutrition from 3 square meals or 6 small snacks. It's about the total intake, not the timing.
I'm not convinced, Kate. While the study is valuable, it doesn't negate the potential benefits of consistent daily activity. We're not just talking about physical health here, but also mental well-being, habit formation, and lifestyle integration.
But Eric, don't you see? This study shows that people can achieve health benefits even if they can't exercise every day. That's crucial for public health messaging. It's like telling people they can still be healthy even if they can't afford a fancy gym membership or find time to work out daily.
That may be true, Kate, but we should be cautious about promoting weekend-only exercise as equally beneficial without more long-term studies. We don't want to send the message that being sedentary all week is okay as long as you hit the gym hard on Saturday.
Let's look towards the future. Eric, how do you think this study might impact exercise recommendations going forward?
I believe this study will lead to more nuanced exercise guidelines that acknowledge different exercise patterns can be beneficial. It's like recognizing that there's more than one way to skin a cat, or in this case, to stay healthy. We might see recommendations that offer various options to fit different lifestyles.
I think it will go further than that. This study could revolutionize how we think about exercise, making it more accessible for busy
people. While accessibility is important, Kate, we shouldn't lose sight of the potential benefits of daily activity for overall health and habit formation. It's not just about ticking boxes. It's about creating a lifestyle that incorporates movement naturally.
But Eric, this study shows that the total volume of exercise is what matters most, not the frequency. It's like saying you can read a book in one sitting or spread it out over a week. You still get the same story.
Interesting perspectives. Kate, how do you see this impacting public health campaigns?
I believe we'll see a shift towards promoting any form of regular exercise, rather than pushing for daily workouts that many find unrealistic. It's like changing the message from, you must eat your vegetables at every meal, to, just make sure you get enough veggies in your diet. It's more flexible and achievable for most people.
That approach might be too simplistic. We should still encourage daily movement, even if it's not intense exercise. It's about creating
a
culture of...
But Eric, this study shows that's not necessary for health benefits. We should focus on helping people fit exercise into their lives, however they can. It's like telling someone they can do their laundry all in one go on the weekend instead of a little bit every day. As long as it gets done, who cares about the schedule?
While that's a valid point, Kate, we shouldn't ignore the potential mental health benefits of daily physical activity. Regular movement can help with stress management, mood regulation, and overall well-being. It's not just about physical health metrics.
The most important thing is getting people to exercise at all, Eric. If weekend warrior-style workouts are more achievable, that's what we should promote. It's like saying, hey, if you can only manage to eat healthy on weekends, that's still better than not at all.
I agree that any exercise is better than none, Kate, but we shouldn't assume this study settles the debate on optimal exercise patterns. We need more long-term research to fully understand the implications of different exercise frequencies.
Well, folks, it looks like we've given our brains quite the workout today. While Eric and Kate might not see eye to eye on everything, they both agree that exercise is crucial for our health. Whether you're a weekend warrior or a daily jogger, the key takeaway is to get moving in whatever way works for you. Thanks for tuning in to listen to. And remember, your body will thank you for any exercise you give it.